Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I'm going to go ahead and introduce the show, introduce our guests, but I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do at the beginning of every show, and that is to go out and be an evangelist. Go out and be an advocate for the show because the information that we share, you do not want your friends to miss. So I ask you, I need you to invite somebody, text someone, send a carrier pigeon, whatever you have to do. But I don't want your friends to miss out on this show because, again, friends, don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're doing your job, I'll do my job and I'll go ahead and introduce our first guest. You have seen this beautiful young lady, I think a million times. We've had her on the show so many times because we love her to death. Her information, her guests, just her energy is amazing. And she's taken some amazing steps in her career over the last few weeks. She's expanded. I would love to introduce Miss Tracy Lamori of Lamori Media. Good morning, my dear. How are you?
Hello, thank you, Miss Sharifa. How are you?
I am excellent. I'm so excited. I have to tell you about one of the things that happened recently. We are now able to stream the Roundtable Talk Show on multiple pages on Facebook, not just one, not just the Roundtable Talk Show. So anyone watching on my pages is now watching all of you. And you know what I have to tell you, Tracy? I've been doing a lot of interviews, and one question I'm often asked is, how do you get five people a day, five shows a week, and you've been doing this for 6 months? How do you do it? And you know what I say? I say people like Tracy Lamori.
Thank you. Well, my clients always love coming on because, again, you're an amazing interviewer. You're like you said, you have an important platform. City council, no, but this is international now, and now you have a voice that can reach us and make change, and let us know what's going on down there. And yeah, so we're always honored to be a part of it for sure, and to be in your space.
I'm honored to have you, but let's talk about some of your previous clients that have been on the show because each one was just so unique. And forgive me, I can't remember all of the names. I'm kind of the person, I remember a person's story more
Well, you
than
got
their
five a
name.
day. Exactly. Well, you had Boluwar. I think first you had Angela Sadler Williamson, who's the cousin of Rosa Parks,
Yes.
iconic Rosa Parks, and obviously of the civil rights movement in American history. And she's got a brand new book about My Life with Rosie. She had a movie, award-winning movie, and then a children's film, a book. And you had Boluwan, the 13-year-old from Canada, with the song Make It Right, which is a song Black Lives Matter and Aboriginal rights kind of theme, and all
And
the
that
injustice.
song went everywhere.
And she has just made a lyric video, and we're about to put out an actual video where she looks like a star. My goodness, you have to see her. So that's gonna, maybe we'll book her back on so you can, have her on the new Bolu.
I would love to see that. I would love to see that.
And yeah, who else have you had on? You've had on a whole bunch of people, right? You've had
Yes.
a just
So we had
oh,
Sir
you've had
Sanju.
Sanju comes on regularly, and he's a part of your panel. Sanju Ganglani with Ganglani Media, right?
Yes,
Sir,
it was a
Sanju. So
yes.
yeah, so you've had a bunch of my cannabis ladies came on one day and did a whole show with you, the women of Canadian cannabis.
Yes, very interesting show. They are one of the few people that didn't send me any products, but I understand.
Yeah.
I'm just
Well, yeah. You have to
give
put
me
a
your
few in
hard time,
Canada.
Tracy. Everybody always sends books, right? The lady from what was it? She's gonna get me, but it was Sabale. I think it was Sabale rum. They sent me a case of rum, and so I had the rum, and I felt kind of bad because it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, drink rum. I'm like, I don't know if that's like, I don't know. But I only get certain things. Now, Tracy, I follow you on social media and you just expanded. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so originally a few years ago, I started as a freelancer 8 or 9 years ago. That's after my long, I mean, I first learned how to write a press release to help get a guy off of death row, an innocent man off death row in 1998, 99. He was finally released in 2017. So that's how I first learned how to write a media release when I was just in marketing. 10, 20 years later, I decided to do it as a career. And my company was, you know, first I was a freelancer and built my little brand that way. And then my company was Lamori Public Relations. And that was just a general partnership. And now we have rebranded and incorporated. So I'm now in Lamori Media Inc. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That's
so
exciting. Now I'm joking
that I'm one of those, you know, corporate assholes we used to talk about. But I'm not. I'm still, you know, ethical human rights, Tracy. And that's what I'm going to do with this. We're just going to make it bigger and be able to amplify more people's voices and, you know, and make more impact, hopefully more positive impact.
But, you know, it's one of the things that I love about talking about business is so often we stay as entrepreneurs or solopreneurs, and we don't take that journey to grow and to expand. So it's like you said, you started as a freelancer, but now you're one of those corporate people where you're like, oh, we can't talk to Tracy anymore. She's corporate. You know what I mean? She left this world to go into that world. You're one of but them, so Tracy.
It is a head shape. Like, even though, like, right now, like, it's still a small mini corporation, still just me and my husband. So there's not much difference from yesterday to today. But still, the head change, the idea, like, it was a really scary jump to take. We've been planning to do it for a while, but just to get your head around the difference, like, now I'm an employee of my corporation and all the different kinds of, you know, it's like now another entity. It's a lot of different, it's a different thought process. So I think a lot of us just get stuck in that comfort zone. Like I always talk about when we talk about power women, right? We're afraid to, so we know our zone and we're really comfortable in it. Am I going to try to go into the next zone? We have to push ourselves because we are capable of it. And, you know, so now I'm following my own, my own,
beautiful. That's
pushing
beautiful.
Myself out there a little bit more and still doing now the same great thing.
Yeah, you're doing the same great things, but now you're an employee. So does that mean you get to complain about your boss?
Right. Yeah. I mean, my boss is an asshole. I'm telling you, she makes me work so much. She makes me work like 15 hour days. Sometimes I work it at 2 a.m.
But that's what we all want. To me, that is the epitome of the American dream. Now, Tracy, I'm going to come back to you. I want to introduce our next guest, who also is one of the people that is dear to you as well, Miss Christina Shea.
Yeah.
Yes, Christina Shea. She's been in marketing for over 20 years. She's getting ready to launch a new company called Blue Skies, and she's going to talk to us about her new wellness platform. Good morning, Christina. How are you?
Good morning. I'm absolutely fabulous. Thank you again for having me on your amazing show with these amazing guests. And I look forward to sharing and learning from everyone, really. I always feel like you have to learn from everyone, and change is transformation, Tracy. So congrats again.
So, thank you so much.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't know, I can tell you just a short version of my story, but I worked in corporate America for most of my life, but I've always had this consulting business, which I had a marketing communications firm, and I worked for the top 5 banks. I worked for regulatory bodies, Ontario Securities Commission, IROC, you name it. Those were my clients. And then I also worked, and I would transition back and forth from employee to consultant or do both, and worked crazy, crazy hours. So, and during the pandemic, obviously there's been a lot of shifts in not only my career and my clients and, you know, who I've been working with, but also my health. So I have never really, I said, take time. I mean, I tried to take time trying to find that balance, and that's really challenging. I'm a single mom, and I originally did my consulting firm so I could have balance. I ended up working harder, but I was passionate about what I did, and I could raise my daughter. But during my journey working for corporations and working for myself, I wasn't taking care of myself. And what I really did realize, and during the pandemic, not to diminish what's going on, was really that I wasn't taking care of myself. I ended up in the ER a few years ago. I was actually diagnosed with a brain cyst too. So that was wake up number one. Yeah. And wake up number call two was being in the ER. Tracy knows this a couple of weeks ago. But even before that, I knew I needed to really reevaluate. And I've been working on this project for a while. I don't think the new normal is great. And I don't think the past normal was great either. I mean, people weren't mentally well, physically well, they're overworked, they're burnt out, they're working for corporations that maybe do not care or empathize with their employees. So I really think there's time for change, in particular for women. They're calling this a she session, because the pandemic is definitely affecting frontline workers, which are often women, people in service. It's also affecting a lot of layoffs. Women in leadership positions are losing. their roles due to layoffs and et cetera. And often they are the first to go, which is sad. And there was just a recent study, 1 in 4 women in corporate America are going to lose their jobs or are thinking of leaving the workplace, which I think is going to be, that's going to be sad for women's equality and equity. But back to blue skies. So when I was going through all my health crises and all that, and I'm perimenopausal, I'm not scared to admit that, I'm going through transitions in life, I really feel there's a gap for women to really have a platform where they can voice their opinions, but also look for products and services that will really address women's needs at this stage of life. Not this stage, but could be also, you know, when you're going to be having a family, it could be perimenopausal, menopausal, could be into your retirement years. And as I talk too fast, I know I'm just like Tracy, but I'm also a CBD advocate. And so CBD has really been a big part of my life, and has helped me through when I had this brain tumor, which is now thankfully reduced in size. But I really feel that there's a gap, and I'm going to basically elevate other women to promote their products and their services, as well as advocate for CBD and cannabis use in general as a whole, and look at your life holistically to support your health and well-being. So it's not just one pill, it's not a vitamin you're gonna pop, but it's really looking at everything. So from your work, you know, are you passionate about it? Do you love it? What makes you, it's all about your why, right? So if you're not passionate about your work, you need more time with your family, you need to incorporate exercise, you need to also take time just for self-care. Maybe it's that lavender, rosewater, bubble bath. So yeah. Really, I think it's really just creating an that platform, that content. It's gonna be purely content and some e-commerce. Developing products and also elevating other female-led companies that were going to be carrying natural health and alternative products as well.
Wow, Christina, you gave us a lot. That was a lot for me to go through, but I love it. Every time I'm like, okay, let me figure out where I want to focus, because I think you took us from third grade to your master's program. But I love when people give me a lot of information and helps me have something to work with. What gave you the strength to be so strong that you can help other people? Because you just like, oh, I was sick, and it feels like it was nothing to you, but this diagnosis had to be life-changing, mind-altering. So what kept you strong?
Well, my daughter, really, at the end of the day, I knew I had to look after her. But also, you know, going through my health journey, I realized that there's a lot of women also, and people in general, that are going through health crises as well. And it affects their career and their family and relationships. So, and my mission was really, you know, to inspire other women that you can get through this. Tough times don't always last, and be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because life will always throw something at you. It does not matter what that is, dust yourself and get back up. And incorporating, you know, things like wellness and mindfulness really do help along that journey. But really my mission is always to create a platform where women have a voice, and, you know, to elevate and support them, not only in their careers, but in society as a whole. And I'm also, an advocate for LGBTQ, my gay brothers, and I have a transgender brother as well. So there's so many things that I just feel like people need voices. They need a platform. And when you're going through something difficult, you want to listen and inspire other people to get through it. And I look to other women to inspire me in particular, or people in general. I mean, when you think about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I mean, I loved your comment in the beginning. You had told me that you wanted a platform and you created this show. Well, if you're not invited to the table, build your own damn table. So sorry, he's wearing. But really,
damn is okay. Damn is okay. I'll allow one damn per show. Everybody know we've exceeded the damn quota. But it reminds me, I did an interview, and the interviewer asked the question. He said, was Shirley Chisholm a big part of my life? Did she influence me? And I said, yes, she was definitely. No, his question, I'm sorry, was, in the influence, did she make you want a seat at the table? And I said, yes, she was definitely a big influence in my life. But I have never wanted a seat at someone else's table. I've always wanted to build my own table. That's how I am. That's how I've always been. So I see you're similar as well. But when you were going through this and you're saying that women and people need a platform to have a voice, did you feel like there was nowhere to go for you to have a voice? Because some people may be thinking, oh, well, they could, you know, go to Reddit. They could go to Quirrell, they could go to Facebook groups. There are places available. But what did you feel was missing, and what was there for you?
I talked to people on Facebook and stuff. I was a very private person. I didn't want to show my cracks, so to say, especially working with corporate clients. So I was very careful of what I did share. You know, there was health programs and there was, you know, but there was nobody going through that I could see that had the same issues that I was having being a single mom working, you know, going through a devastating diagnosis. I'm sure I just didn't find one that really spoke to me. So I guess I'm creating this platform in general for something that's like-minded women like me, but also I just feel like there's something to be said about really creating a safe platform for women specifically, not just a general. I know you can do Facebook groups and you can do all that, but I really wanted to create my own table, as you say. So yeah, we'll see where this all goes. And, you know, blue skies, to me, that's all about optimism, uplifting, you know, looking to the future with no boundaries and no boundaries, no limits, you know, obviously made some filters on cussing, but just really, you know, be able to speak your voice and be able to have other women to lean on. So for me, I didn't find what I was looking for. So I've decided that I have to create my own.
Well, that's what happens. If you don't have it, you have to create it. So I think that's wonderful. Christina, we're going to come back to you. I would love to go ahead and introduce my next guest. And her story is amazing. I love to find people who are unique, who are different. It's great, you know, when people do certain things, but when someone just stands out in helping other people, I love to have them show and applaud what they're doing. I want to introduce Marissa Sheff, and she's amazing. She is. I'm gonna allow her to tell you the details about her program. I'm just gonna give you the high level. She helps the homeless. And when people hear my story, they like, Sharifa, you must have made this up. And I'm like, no, the people who have been around for a long time who know me know I've been laid off 8 times. I've been homeless. I've lost everything I've owned aside from the clothes I had on my back. I had to rebuild everything. And so when people come and try to help the homeless, I'm like, let me help them help people. And she has a very interesting spin on it. Good morning, Marissa. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what I'm doing. It's actually fairly new. So the company's just over a year old. My background is actually in sales. I worked in sales for a large sock manufacturer for about 5.5 years. And during that time, I learned that socks were one of the most needed, least donated items to homeless shelters. And I think the misconception is when, you know, when you're cleaning out your closet after a season and putting together some clothes to bring to a shelter, you never really think about bringing new items. Typically, it's used clothing. And with regards to socks and underwear, the shelters actually won't accept used socks or underwear. So as you can imagine, there's a shortage in that area. And foot care is such an important piece of the puzzle, especially for the homeless community. As you can see, their feet are the primary mode of transportation. And as I'm sure you know firsthand, you know, it gets you from point A to point B. It could be taking you to your next interview to get a job and get out of the situation that you're in. And so proper foot care and having proper socks and shoes is so important, particularly where we are in Canada and then in parts of the US as well. As the weather gets colder, it's so important to have good socks and fresh socks. If you're not able to have access to laundry, especially, you know, and that is your only one pair of socks, you go through them pretty quickly if you're on your feet all day. So when I learned that, I was in a corporate environment for a long time, and I really wanted to take sort of the leap into entrepreneurship. I had always had a passion for volunteering, especially with the homeless community. I worked as a volunteer at the Center for Addiction and Mental Health here in Toronto. And through that experience, I learned a lot about the people that were coming into the center. I actually worked at the library on site, playing board games with the clients. So for me, it was really nice because it was an opportunity to be in an environment where people didn't feel like it was a hospital. And it really gave people a new sort of perspective and certainly gave me a new perspective on that population. And what I took away from it was that most of the people coming into the library really just craved connection and conversation. They wanted to be part of a community. And that's sort of the platform for my business. So there's a lot of businesses out there that have a one-for-one giving model. And so for us, we sell socks. We have an online sock subscription and retail store. And then we also have, I'll tell you a little bit about this, but we launched the first charitable sock vending machine in Toronto. So basically our model works such that for every pair of socks that you buy, you get a pair to donate back to the homeless. And the pair that is going back to the homeless was specifically curated with the shelter's guidance. So it is actually geared specifically to be an all season sock so that it carries you through sort of all the different times. So with regards to the site, if you purchase online, you get actually a pair of novelty socks. So in the women's category, I brought out the wine sock because that seems to be the most popular. And then we have men's socks. So this is our men's donut sock as an example. And we also have kids socks. So this is the bacon and eggs. But you'll see they're kind of funky and playful. But then the donation sock is a basic gray cotton sock. When you purchase online, you actually have the option. So most of the companies that are out there doing a one-for-one giving are not giving the consumer the ability to go out and donate themselves. They're donating on your behalf. And just given my experiences and my history working with this population, I wanted to sort of take that one step further, pun intended, by actually giving the consumer the ability or opportunity to go donate face-to-face. Because I think it's such an important piece of the puzzle. Removing that touch point is actually removing the impact of seeing the person on the receiving end and having that feel good moment where you're actually giving back. Now, understanding that not everyone's comfortable with face-to-face giving, I've been doing both options. So when you check out a cart on the site, you're given the pop-up that's asking if you want us to donate on your behalf or if you want the donation socks shipped out with your order to be able to give face-to-face. And our unique hashtag is pay it footward instead of pay it forward. And so we're asking people to sort of create like a video diary to share on social media of their giving experience to hopefully open people's eyes to the possibilities and remove some of the stigma associated with the homeless community. And then the same thing applies to the vending machine. So you approach the vending machine to buy a pair of socks. A second pair of the donation socks will drop simultaneously and free of charge. And there's actually a plexiglass donation box attached to the side of the vending machine for people that want to donate on site. That goes to our partner charity. And then if you want to take, it's based on the honor system. So if you want to take that extra pair of socks away with you to go give face to face, you have that option. So we really wanted to, you know, just create an opportunity to reconnect with community. I think we're all feeling during the pandemic that there's this disconnect and we're all sort of realizing how important that connection that we once had was. And so, you know, I think also just being at home, everyone's sort of complaining, oh my God, it's been 7 months that we're in our houses. Well, at least we have homes and we have food on our plates and we're, you know, very fortunate to be in the situation that we're in. And a lot of people are unfortunately without. And I think, you know, having been in this lockdown and maybe sort of approaching a second lockdown, you know, the access for the homeless community was completely cut off the first time around. So all of the public spaces that you would typically see people sort of hanging out, libraries, restaurants, even just access to public washrooms, you know, all these things that we take for granted, you know, was something that was not available to this population. So I think just putting that in perspective for me was really important. And if I can share that with one or two or hundreds of people, I think it's just really important. If you're going to buy a gift anyways, or if you're going to buy a gift for yourself, a pair of socks, might as well have a social component incorporated into it so that you can feel good about your purchases online.
Wow, I'm impressed. And I thank you. I thank you for your heart. Just hearing you speak, you can hear the humanity in your voice. So where did this come from? Did you get this from your family? You just got frustrated with this situation. Where did the spirit of giving come from?
I mean, I think that I have been extremely fortunate in my life. And I think that as a result of that, I feel this almost crucial responsibility to be able to give back to others. Because I realized that not everyone has been as fortunate. And I think, you know, just having interacted with different people over the course of my life, I think, you know, everyone should be able to be awarded the same opportunities. And if I have more, I should be able to give more. So sort of that's, you know, my growing up, my family was very involved in volunteer organizations and things like that. So definitely something that was modeled to be by my parents. But I think just in general, I think people don't really put themselves in situations to have that perspective. I heard this crazy statistic on the radio, and I share it anytime I have sort of a talk like this. And it was that homeless people only hear their names 4 times a year. And oh, wow. That is just such a compelling piece
four
of information.
Wow, I think I hear my name like 30 times a day. That's why I turn off my phone and don't take any messages. So that would be horrible for someone not to say my name for 4 times.
When you think about it though, it's just, it kind of makes sense because, you know, people are being ignored and, you know, certainly passed on the streets. And I think at the end of the day, there's so much in just hearing someone say your name. When you meet someone for the first time, and I as a salesperson and having a sales background, I'm always it's very important to me when I meet someone. So it's like, hi, my name's Sharifa. Hi, Sharifa, nice to meet you. Because there's something in that that creates like an additional connection. Touch point. And I think people just don't think about the homeless community in that way. You know, even if you don't have money to give or supplies to give someone, just the simple act of having a conversation and acknowledging that person is just, it can go such a long way to the point where they feel valued and they feel worthy, which is such a small thing that you can do. So
yes, Marissa, that's definitely what we want to do. I'm gonna come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, and I'm sure he's going to have some ideas for all of us today. Mr. Drew Faulkman, he is a leader in digital innovation and transformation, and he helps others to aspire to find good ideas. We're going to talk about his company. Well, I know we're going to talk about some of the other people on the panel as well. Good morning, Drew. How are you?
Hi, Sharifa. Thanks for having me. It's so awesome to have, just to get to meet people that are out there doing amazing things and helping the world. So it's really, really exciting to be here. So my background, I've worked for a company called Modus Create, and we're a digital transformation consulting company, which means that we basically help nonprofits and businesses to figure out how to optimize technology so that they can disrupt their own industries. And, you know, everything is constantly changing. I think this whole pandemic has reminded us just how much uncertainty is out there. You know, it's always been that way, but this has been a very strong sort of, you know, shaking of people where they had to pivot on a dime as things changed so quickly. And all of a sudden their business model was going to be completely moot for an unknown period of time. So, you know, we try and help people to find what the sort of good ideas are, and then to sort of dig deeper and find what the great ideas are behind the good ideas, and how people can embrace that uncertainty and realize that uncertainty isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's not always just risk, it's also opportunity. And there are a lot of organizations that during this whole COVID thing that's happened have been able to shift their perspective, and in the process found entirely different business models. And when things come back again, they're going to have this whole new revenue stream, and it's really going to change a lot. I think there are a lot of things moving forward that are going to be totally different in our society in general. And I think there are going to be new businesses that start to come up. I mean, we've seen it. Look, we're on Zoom. Nobody heard of Zoom really, except for those of us in the industry, before March. And now, like, everyone's on it. My son is on it every day for school. You know,
everyone is on it. When it first happened, Zoom stock went up. I think the highest I saw it, it may have gone higher, but I saw it was like 846%. Zoom got to the point where they had to stop accepting new customers completely. At that point, their server couldn't hold anymore. So that's a, you know, a wonderful problem to have. And I tell people, I really believe if not for this whole global pandemic, I would have never, ever been able to book 5 guests per day, 5 shows a week. And it you know, because people weren't interested in Zoom. They were like, no, I only do offline appointments. I only, you know, do offline meetings. I don't do networking online, but now everyone's on Zoom. So excellent point, Drew.
Yep, yep. So it's, I mean, it's interesting. You know, it's scary. My wife is an ER doctor. So we're on the front lines and we're exposed to this. And, you know, not having PPE is something we worry about. And not being prepared still after how many months we're into this, you know, and we're very concerned about what's going to happen this winter in flu season, what's traditionally flu season, but is for sure going to be another spike in coronavirus. So, you know, it's crazy times for sure. but at the same time, it's when there's change, there's excitement. And I think the key is, you know, my advice, I had a webinar a while back, and I got some great people, the VP of design from Hulu, and a guy who runs a company on innovation, and the showrunner for Jane the Virgin. And we just kind of talked about change and how that affects us. And, you know, the takeaway from me was that if you can essentially just accept that things are different and that there is uncertainty, and look for the positive in that. How can I take this? I'm at home, like you just said, Sharifa, you know, you've been able to launch this amazing webinar show that you're running every day. You know, that's something that couldn't have been done before. So how can you find the inspiration in that? You know, and I can see all these panelists, they've taken this opportunity to pivot their careers and to find, you know, new ways of helping people out and doing stuff. And it's amazing and it's inspiration. And I think it's hard not to get sucked into the mindset of, oh God, the doom and gloom, and you know, people are gonna die and I don't know what's gonna happen. I mean, every day, and politics is like a hot mess in the US and the global economy is like in a
We are not gonna talk about that debate, Drew.
I can't talk about it either.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I'm with you there. But we can all agree that we're a really divided country. And that's, it's stressful. It's stressful. But if we can refocus it on the positive, I think there's opportunity to feel excitement and to have at least some part of your day or some aspect of your life that you're really looking forward to. And I think that's the key. In fact, just real quick, and then I'll stop chattering. But
that's what we do.
All right. There's been some research done on uncertainty, and there's this whole sort of concept of tolerance of ambiguity. It's called TA. And some people have it and some people don't, and they don't know if it's people are born with it or if it's something you grow in. We don't know this, but some people can hang. And in my industry with startups and product managers, and it attracts people like that because we have that high tolerance. My wife's industry, doctors, they like the certain path and they have a low tolerance for ambiguity and they don't like when things are like that. So everyone has this, but what research has shown is when there's uncertainty that's perceived as negative, it's stressful. They did a test on this really interesting study they did where it was a video game and they had people play it and they measured their stress levels. And all they did was click on rocks. And if there was a snake under the rock, they would get a shock. It wasn't like a major thing, but enough to feel it. And what they found is the highest stress level came at 50%. So they would change the percent chance of when you'd get a snake. So the most uncertainty is the most stressful. Even if they knew they were most likely going to get shocked, there was at least a certainty to that. And people took comfort in that for some reason. So it's fascinating. And then the flip side is, it's also been shown in research that people will choose ambiguity and uncertainty if there's a positive approach. They'll choose a bonus over having a greater salary that's equal to that bonus, which is crazy, but we will. We like uncertainty. So I think the important thing is just shifting perspectives and looking at your days and the new normal as how can I find something to be excited about in this? Where can I find excitement in this uncertainty? And I think that makes people happier. And that's what we try to do, you know, with our companies is look for those opportunities in the uncertainty and not focus on just, you know, figuring out how to deal with the bad things that are happening.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I look forward to the roundtable talk show every morning. That's why I do it Monday through Friday. I'll joke sometimes and say this show is my therapy because I may be dealing with something in my personal life and I don't know what to do. I don't know what the right way. And I can say, you know what, Christina, let me tell you about this. I've been tired, you know, this week. Do you have any suggestions, recommendations on things that I can do? So it helps to have like-minded people around you. But also one of the things that said is that there are more millionaires made in a recession than any other time. You know,
that's interesting. That's yes. Inspirational. Wow.
Yes. Because I was going to bring it back to you, Tracy, because just like Drew was talking about, you made a major shift. Like this is a major shift during a global pandemic. So that's an opportunity that opened up for you. Why now then, Tracy? Why now?
And it's true. My company, I actually like, obviously the first month when all this happened, like everybody, or first 2 weeks, we're all just staring at the TV, watching all the politicians tell us what the heck's going on in the world and in shock that everything's shutting down and all our flights aren't happening, right? And at that time, my business was, you know, in PR, obviously I had a lot of entertainment going on, public speaking, travel, events, all kinds of stuff. So I lost about 75% of what I was working on. That just isn't possible right now, right? So I was like, oh my God, this is going to kill my business. Nobody's going to have any money. Nobody's going to promote anything. Well, as soon as I changed that mindset and went and sat down back at my desk, it's literally instead of staring at, you know, all the gloom and doom on the TV, as soon as I sat back down at my desk, started doing the work, started talking to people, started being present again on LinkedIn. I don't do any advertising. Conversations started to happen and people started to reach out. I did reach out, now that I mentioned, to a couple of authors. Because at the beginning, I was thinking, oh, well, people are going to be home. Eventually, they're going to get sick of Netflix. People, authors have put their time, effort, money into publishing their books, and they're just going to sit on the shelves now. So I reached out to a couple of authors, four or five, with books that I wanted to read and, you know, and represented them. And that got me kind of getting back into the thing. Within a couple of weeks, new things were coming to me because, you know, as you've said, people have had to pivot. People have been home. People are looking. So people have new things to promote, new shows like yours or the new books they just wrote or their new business idea that they're doing from home. So I was actually able to, you know, keep doing exactly what I do, which is PR and media for amazing people, but able to pivot and replace those things that cannot happen right now with things that couldn't have happened before.
Right.
It turns out I'm almost embarrassed to say that my business had done really well during COVID. At the beginning it was questionable for a couple of months. Ooh, what's it going to be like? But then, and again, it's all mindset, because as soon as I got away from the TV and the gloom and doom, literally, and sat down at my desk and said, okay, what work do I still have to do? And who can I contact and talk to? And just not for looking for making, but just who's doing business. And then organically things started again. So, you know, I think I've never heard that more millionaires are made during a recession, but that actually makes sense because when everybody else
figure it out.
And also when everyone else is panicking, if you can figure out a strategy, and obviously it's privilege, you have to have some privilege to be able to implement it. And if you're climbing and climbing, it's not, so we can't always say think positive and you're going to do it. It's not always possible, right?
Yeah, but you look at the times. You have to look at the times. 2008, that's when you saw the Ubers of the world. That's when you saw the Postmates. That's why you saw these new companies. And it's because necessity is the mother of invention. When you're comfortable, you're not going to go and try to figure out how to change your world. Your world is fine. It's operating quite wonderfully. But then COVID-19, a global pandemic, a global recession, and you lost your jobs. I was laid off 8 times. And I always tell people, I was a very happy employee. I was not one of those people who wanted to be an entrepreneur to go off and start my own business. nothing says I love you like direct deposit. Direct deposit is my thing. Like, I'm telling you, like, I knew that money was going to be on in the bank on Friday.
I don't even remember that language anymore.
Tuesday, I was writing a check that was going to be taken out on Friday. So I didn't want to do all
of this. Oh, my God. The bank, I opened my incorporation to the bank, they said, how much will you be depositing a month? I'm like, I'm in PR. I can't tell you. You'll have to look at that after 6 months to see, because literally from 1 month to the next, I have no way of knowing. I could have 10 new clients come in and they all buy 6 month packages and I'm rolling in it. Or I could be struggling because everyone else is struggling and people are just buying 20 hours or 10, and then I'm just getting through it. So there's no, she was looking at me like, there was literally no way. But I mean, I think in time to pivot, like, I find that, you know, messages like, and I want to give a shout out to your friend in Toronto doing the socks. I want to find out more about that. And if they don't have a publicist, they'd be happy to do some free PR for that, because I like the social justice aspect of that. Just at least a media.
Yeah, let me tell you, Marissa, Tracy spent the last 12 shows she was on saying, I'm not taking on new clients. I'm not taking on new clients.
I'm not looking for a client. I'm just saying I'm not taking on new clients.
So the fact
I just like Tracy, what she's doing.
Yeah, I like this offer, Marissa. I'd say take her up on it. I want to go back to Drew real quick. Now, we talked about Marissa and her socks. We talked about Christina and creating a platform to help women, blue skies, getting out there. And I love one of the things I loved about Marissa's ideas, as well as Christina's, but the thoroughness of it, the fact that there are already hashtags, there are already things in place, there's already a plan. When you listen to Marissa, Christina, we know Tracy has it, you know, Tracy incorporated. Well, what are some of your thoughts, Drew, as far as innovation?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm really impressed with, you know, how far they are with their ideas they've developed and the sort of self-service, you know, vending machines. I love that. That's such a cool idea. One of the things that we always do when we're talking to companies is really making sure that you get in front of whoever your customer is as quickly as possible in any way, shape or form, right? And there's lots of ways to do that. You can, you know, one of the amazing things about social media, and it's a double-edged sword as we all know, but you can really target people. So you can have these very specific targets. So you can find people that, you know, give to homeless organizations or they follow groups that are about helping homeless people. So you can find people that have that. And for a pretty low cost, you can test your messaging, right, on selling socks. You can build a bunch of different sort of pages really quickly using whatever, and then put out these different messages and see which one gets the greatest response. We take time. We did a project for AARP where we sort of helped them with this financial app. And a lot of what we did was we would use, there's a website called respondent.io, and it allows you to recruit people for all kinds of different things. And we used it to recruit people for doing research. So, in that example, we were looking for people that had gone through a financial shock, specifically medical. They had gotten a big medical bill and they didn't know how to pay for it. So we put up you build a questionnaire and you put it up and it sort of, you get people that respond and then you can go through and see their responses and pick people out. And then we usually compensate them. It doesn't have to cost a lot. You can give them a gift card, you know, depending how much time you're going to have, $25 to $100. And we would talk to people and just sort of get their journey as they go through something. In this case, like figuring out how to pay for this situation. And you learn a lot, you know, you learn so much about their journey and who they are. And I think, you know, anytime you can get in front of users and get that information before you go and spend a lot of money building some app or, you know, building something out, you get that data so you know who your people are. And then you build something small and see how it goes. And you sort of grow on as time progresses. That's sort of what we found is the best way to do it, is just get user information fast. And what's the messaging for these socks? And what's the compelling thing? Is it, is, you know, what is exactly that? Getting to the core of it is the key.
I like that. What are your thoughts, Marissa, on what Drew has?
I mean, yeah, so I wrote that down, responded.io. I'm going to check it out for sure. Thank you for that helpful tip. I think I mentioned this at the beginning, but I did come from a background in sales. So I work for a large stock manufacturer, and I was working with both large and small retailers. So I had sort of both sides of the coin, which I think was really important to give me some perspective on what was working and what wasn't. And I think, you know, again, so right now I actually don't manufacture the socks. I've partnered with different sock brands that are already out there in the marketplace. And so to me, as a consumer, if you can buy this same pair of socks at a department store or buy it from me, but have the donation piece incorporated, to me, absolutely, I would prefer buying the donation piece incorporated. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're feeling like you can give back. And especially now, people are looking for ways to help out from, you know, self-isolation or from quarantine. You know, what can I do? You know, I'm about to drop off 275 pairs of donation socks this week to my partner charity here. And they actually have a mobile outreach van that circulates the city, distributing supplies to people living rough. Before COVID hit, I actually had the opportunity, I registered as a volunteer and had the opportunity to go out on this outreach van. And the work that they do is so amazing. The organization is called Ve'ahavta. They're the Jewish Humanitarian Response to Poverty in Toronto. They do such amazing work. And right now, you know, the shelters, unfortunately, here, because of social distancing, the amount of beds have had to be reduced. Yeah. And while the government has created new spots, so they're using some hotels to sort of take some of the overload from the shelters, the number of beds has actually reduced during the pandemic. So what I'm hearing from the outreach team is there's a lot more people living rough. And, you know, as you can imagine with the pandemic and people losing their jobs, there's new people that are homeless and out living on the streets. And so I wanted to make sure that consumers knew that the donations were still getting out to people in need during this time, because I think it's the most important time to need to support that community. I'm actually hosting my first webinar next week in collaboration with WeWork. So they, pre-pandemic, I actually had been doing these little VIP pop-ups for employees in different businesses. And so I was scheduled to do 7 WeWork buildings in the greater Toronto area just before the pandemic hit. So when that happened, I reached out to their team to see if we could organize something virtually. And I really didn't know what that was gonna look like because before I would come in and I'd set up almost like a shop and shop concept with my product and employees could shop during their lunch hour. But I shifted the focus. And so for me, it was less about the shopping part, but more about the awareness part. So actually the guest speaker for the webinar, which is happening next Thursday in honor of World Homeless Day, which is next Saturday, is Joe Roberts. And he is an amazing individual. If you have the opportunity to look him up, he goes under Skid Row CEO. He's currently living in BC and he is a formerly homeless man, was homeless for about 10 years. And then he went on to, he was an addict and he went on to clean up his life and go back to school and became a millionaire before the age of 35. And
he I'll have to check him out.
He's the CEO of a large multimedia company. And now he has his own organization called The Push for Change, which was started when he did a crazy walk across Canada pushing a shopping cart.
I will check it out.
Yeah, so
I definitely want to check it out, but it's just getting the word out about those webinars, and that's what we do. So we'll have the information. The information is on your website, correct?
It's on my social media. Actually, I posted yesterday on my Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. So the link is there, and so it's taking place next Thursday.
And what's your Facebook?
It's at Sock Footage Co.
Okay. Yes, Christina. Now you're listening to some ideas that Drew gave Marissa. Marissa's talking about some of the things that she can do. Your platform, Blue Skies, is going to help women like Marissa What are your thoughts in hearing about these socks?
Well, I think that's an amazing thing what you're doing. Honestly, we have a lot in Hamilton. I hear we have a lot of homeless. We have the same situation where a lot of people have been evicted or, you know, don't have a place because they have lost their jobs. But also there's a large population of mentally ill people. And I know there's a lot more on the streets. And I'm very worried about what's going to happen in the winter, because if they're reducing beds, I mean, it gets quite cold up here. So, and I do know socks, because I donate a lot of things as well, and I do work for the women's shelter, and I've always given back there. But in terms of reaching your audiences and really educating and using innovation, I come from a marketing background, so I totally understand that, really understanding your audience and who you want to speak to. So for your case, you know, again, you know, is it professionals? Is it people that work in the space, you know, in the apparel industry even? There's all sorts of different target segmentation, and using something which Drew would know is programmatic, you know, advertising and targeting, really, you know, doing small A/B tests, which what we call them, it just, you change your messaging, you change your imagery, and you see how that works with certain audiences, and then you can really amplify and grow with that. For me, someone like what the sock company, I would love to actually feature anything that's to do with doing good and having positive impact, because that's really all about what I want to do, is create positive impact for all women and entrepreneurs, women who are doing not for profit. So
very I really cool. think,
yeah, so that's really what I want to do, is elevate women. Cause you know, I'm, and talking about, you know, going through uncertainty, I've actually been widowed twice. So I know I have a story where I know it sounds, it's people always cringe. I don't like to talk about it usually, but that I have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because I've been in situations where I didn't know if I'm going to be able to pay my mortgage, and I had a little girl, so I had to figure it out. Luckily in these days, you know, I've had some savings, I'm, you know, I'm okay for now, but still at the end of the day, you still have to hustle and get up in the morning, and it's all about your why. And you know, like Marissa, I think, you know, your why is that you want to help people. And I think everybody during this pandemic is really realizing, most people are realizing that they do want to do good. They do want to give back. And if you have a way to elevate others, which with my company, like K-Vision is my marketing outreach company, which I do still consulting, but Blue Skies will be my, I guess you could say my passion project, but it'll also be elevating other women's products, whether it's, you know, health and beauty. And you know, I'll be creating my own eventually at some point in time, but I also want to elevate women and people in just in the world that are doing good. So something that's local, like giving back socks, like that's such a basic need. We're talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I mean, we're so lucky to have, you know, first world problems. I mean, most of us do live in a house. Most of us do have dinner, as you said, Marissa, and most of us have socks. I mean, my socks are probably a little, you know, mismatched. I can never find the right one. People make fun of me, but I love crazy socks. But I mean, just to have that basic necessity. I remember hiking once in Iceland and my socks were soaked, and I had to live in these wet socks in ice cold conditions for like 6 hours. I can't even imagine.
There's nothing worse than that.
Yeah. And I can't even imagine. I was thinking to myself, these poor people, when I come home, I see them. Sometimes they don't even have socks. They're barefoot or they're wet, they're dirty. Some of them don't even have shoes. So, you know, these basic necessities that we all take for granted. I mean, let's help others, and, you know, anything that you can do digitally, everybody's pivoting on it, on platforms or, you know, social media and stuff. Get the word out, get people to know what you're doing. And I would be so happy to be able to help others like you, and in particular what you're doing with socks.
Oh, that is so wonderful.
Thank we make you guys.
Look at that, Marissa.
I'm feeling the love today.
You should be. You got a new PR rep. You got a marketing person. You got an innovation company. That's what we do here on the Roundtable Talk Show. I love it. And it reminds me of a story, not about socks, but when I lost everything aside from the clothes I had on my back, I just so happened to be wearing flip-flops. So for a long time, the only shoes I had, no matter what I was wearing, was these flip-flops. And so for after a while, I just said, you know what? If somebody asks me about these flip-flops, I'm just going to say, oh, that's the new style. That's what everyone is doing. You don't even know about that. Like, you don't know the style. So it's just, I get it, because I just, to this day, I don't wear socks because I always wear my flip-flop in honor of the hard time. So if I come to one of your meetings, just know why I have on flip-flops. But we are
coming. I'm glad to hear you say that, though, because I literally was sorry to interrupt, but I was thinking the other day, it's recent memory, like within the last 10 years, I remember, and it's embarrassing to say, but I remember the last 10 years being down to like worried, got $50 in my account, and I got a lot more than I mean, what am I going to do? How quickly can I get more? And I'm thankful that it's been a long time since, you know, been that. Now I have a different level that I freak out when it gets under. but you know, it is fun. But where I am now, as opposed to where I was a few years ago, and I didn't go to school for anything different. It was just literally out of passion. Keep working, keep believing, keep showing what you can do. And then, you know, just building, like, it really comes down most essentially to believing in ourselves. Don't you agree, Christina?
Totally. It's all about mindset. And sometimes it's really hard to get up, you know, especially during this pandemic. But I mean, in general, you know, you're going through hard times. Like, I mean, all women have their stories, all people have their stories. But some days you're like, oh man, but you just get up, change your mindset, reframe, find what that good is. Just get up, dust yourself off.
Get up, dust yourself off. Absolutely. Yeah. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience. To everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And so since you've had the most love today, we're going to start with you, Marissa.
Well, honestly, I just want people to take away that, you know, it's not as of right now with everyone being at home, the best thing you can do is try and help others to make yourself feel better. I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're all stuck at home. And you were saying before, Tracy, you can choose to focus on the negative or choose to focus on the positive. Well, there's a lot of positive work that can be done still right now. There's a lot of people that need support and help. And I think, you know, just by finding those ways to give back, whether it's through volunteering, whether it's through financial donations, whether it's through, you know, supporting someone in your network that, you know, may be down on their luck. I think just putting those things in perspective and realizing that we're all in this together. And so we all need to act as a community. And this is a good way to be able to reconnect while we're separate.
Thank you. I love it. Tracy.
Well, I guess, as always, just honestly, everybody, keep on doing what you're doing. Don't let any naysayers bring you down. Honestly, believe in yourself. These things sound like cliches, but I literally prove every day that you can just take that belief in yourself and in, you know, your skills that you have, and just show the world what you can do, and you know, you'll be successful. But it all starts with expecting to be successful, believing in yourself, and showing the world what you can do, and being kind and helping others and all that stuff. Because, you know, if you, in my view, if you're just single-mindedly focused, I mean, I'm 50 years old and I just incorporated. My father told me at age 30 that if I put as much effort into a business as I did into my human rights and justice and anti-death penalty work, I would have been a millionaire at 30. And you know what? He's right. But I had 20 years of human rights work to do first. And that's the work in my heart. And I'm going to continue to do it. But, you know, at some point, you got to start thinking about your own business too, and what you can do. So do it. Do it.
That's right. Do it all. That's right. Do it. Do it. Do it all. And one day you too could be just like Lamori Media.
Oh my God. Yeah. You with that crazy red hair or the big. Yeah. That's a goal.
You're eccentric, right? The crazy red hair. Rich, successful people are always eccentric. Believe me.
I was just actually reading that in the Harvard Business Review. They were talking about when you get to a certain level and you don't have to care about wearing the suit and tie in the exact regular outfit. I'm like, okay, I guess that's what I've been doing without meaning to.
Yes. Christina, what do you have for us?
Oh my gosh, I'll echo everybody here. But at the end of the day, I think it's your why. Go back to your why. Why are you here? What's your purpose? Whether it's a brand, you work for a company, why do you want to do what you do? And karma is a thing. It's all about energy, and, you know, put it out, surround yourself with good energy people, and, you know, and give back and help people, because it'll always come round and it'll make you feel good. And health and wellness is, it's not just about looking after you. It's looking about everybody and really helping each other. And that will help your self-fulfillment, your self-esteem, your self-confidence, and overall, I think you're really your health. So that's what I would like to leave. Health is wealth.
Yes, love it. Health is wealth. Drew, what do you have for us?
All right, I'll be super quick. I guess my sort of parting words are just try and find that piece of uncertainty that gets you excited. Find something exciting, something to look forward to, because that's it. And it's not positive thinking. It's not just pretending everything's just fine, because that, you know, that's I don't know if that works, but it's certainly difficult. But certainly finding that thing that gets you excited. And I would echo the sentiment of giving back, mentoring people, helping people, joining this. You never miss out on rewards there. You feel better. You help those people, and you know, you always end up meeting new people and making new connections. And it's all about people in this life. So just do it. That's Thanks, Rifa, cool. for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you are so welcome. You are so welcome. Thank you for joining me. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who watched the show in the archive. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you are not important and that we don't need your support. Go ahead and share the show, whether you watched it live 2 days from now, 2 weeks from now, 8 years from now. It doesn't matter. The information is still relevant and you can share it with your friends. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or if you're ready to go ahead and pick up your tickets to my Power by Purpose 2-day empowerment teleconference, which is October 9th and 10th, or maybe you are interested in being a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.